Up next, listener questions, our buy, borrow, rent, or steal segment, and expensive DIY mistakes.
Welcome to the Handy Guys Podcast, where we work together on that honey-do list, featuring head-to-head tool challenges and your questions. Here are the Handy Guys themselves, Brian and Paul. What a concept!
Welcome to episode number 64 of the Handy Guys Podcast. I almost forgot we're up to 64 episodes, Brian. Are you ready to record our next podcast?
Absolutely. Let's go.
All right. Well, we welcome our listeners and our streamers and however you're listening to us. We're the Handy Guys. We're getting a lot of new listeners, we've noticed. We're getting new questions from our listeners from around the world, which are legion at this point.
right.
And Brian, how can you contact the Handy Guys if you have a listener question?
Contact us at by calling us 615-676-0877, and we may use your question on the air. Or you can just fill out our contact form on the website at www.handyguyspodcast.com or email us at handyguyspodcast.com.
All right, Brian, we have several listener questions. We also have that buy, borrow, rent, or steal segment I mentioned already.
Right, and a costly mistake.
Right, expensive DIY mistakes. Where do you want to start?
I don't know. Where do you want to start?
I say we start with...
It's time for listener questions with the Handy Guy.
Okay, Brian, we got our first listener question, and this is from Vishal or Vishal or something like that. Why don't you go ahead and read the question?
Well, hold on a second. Okay, here it is.
Or you want me to read the question?
No, I got it here. Here it is.
Awesome!
Where'd that come from?
Yeah, we have lots of fans. All right, Brian, why don't I read the first question from Vishal?
Do you want me to read it? I thought you wanted me to read
it.
No,
I changed my mind.
All right, you read it.
It's my prerogative.
Because this is a short question, so I get to read the longer one later.
This is really going to take me a long time here, Brian. So hold tight. If you need to get a drink or a refreshment, now's the time to do it. No. Here's
the
question.
The
yeah. What tools do you need to loosen or tighten a lawnmower's blade? Let's ponder that one for a minute. First, Brian, this is a good question.
There's a short answer and a long answer to it.
Well, first, before we give any answer, we should talk about why would you want to remove a lawnmower's blade?
Well, maybe you've driven over a rock and bent it.
Right.
Maybe it just needs sharpened.
Or you've pushed it over a rock if you have a push mower.
Right, or you've pushed it over a rock or something like that. So either you're replacing it or you're sharpening it.
So maybe you're between a rock and a hard place and you can't get your blade off.
I've been there, Paul, more than once.
Right.
So the short answer.
Okay.
A wrench.
Right. All right. So most handy guys have a wrench. That's not a problem. Okay. So I find what, an adjustable wrench?
And, I didn't say what kind of wrench. I was giving you the short answer.
Okay, but we'll say I have an adjustable wrench. More than likely, I could get it loosened with that. Might be tough,
If it fits,
right.
First of all, because sometimes they have a very large nut.
But it's adjustable. So it has to be big enough for the nut.
Right. It has to be big enough that it can open up wide enough for the nut. The problem with adjustable wrenches is sometimes they don't get a really good grip and they can slip.
All right, Brian. So you need a wrench that's large enough for the nut.
Right.
So assuming you have an adjustable wrench that is, will it get it loose?
It will, probably. You might need to put a little bit of liquid wrench or some kind of penetrating oil on there to loosen it up if you've never had it off before and if it's been a long time. But an adjustable wrench should be able to do it.
But when you turn the nut, an adjustable wrench, or perhaps you have a regular wrench, or
end wrench, can get right on there, or you have a socket set.
A socket set that can get on there. Either way, you're going to have to get a wrench to loosen it. But when you turn the nut, the blade also wants to turn, right?
That's right, it does. And before, Vishal, before you do any of this, disconnect the spark plug wire so you don't accidentally start the mower. But the problem is it wants to turn. So what do I do? If I'm wearing boots or something like that, sometimes I'll just use my foot and wedge it against the blade,
right,
and I can get the nut off that way. Sometimes you need a little more force than that, and you can't, it's too awkward to put your foot there, so you might want to find something to wedge in there, maybe a piece of a 2x4 or something, if you can get it wedged in there, or you get a clamp, what's called a C-clamp.
Right.
And you can get them at the hardware store for just a couple of bucks, and you can actually put a clamp on the deck of your mower that will prevent that blade from spinning around temporarily while you're working on it.
Good tip. And I also find that it's helpful to wear some leather gloves or something in case your hand slips off or the wrench slips off and you don't bang up your knuckles.
But, yeah, so I was working on this rider mower, and it had a very large diameter bolt in there, and I'd use the largest socket I had to get that off.
Right.
And they had never been out before. And so I actually had to put a piece of pipe on the end of my socket wrench to give me more leverage.
Right.
And, you know, I still skin my knuckles, I think, and it was just a real bear to get those off.
Good idea, though. You're just using, you know, like ancient Egyptian techniques for leverage.
That's right.
That, you know, a technique that's often not even thought of because we just assume, you know, a bigger and better tool. Well, in your case, you just picked out a pipe and you got yourself
some
leverage.
Piece of pipe and put it around the handle of the socket, and away I went.
Okay, so good question, Vishal. We addressed lawnmower care in last year's podcast, and we'll put a link to that in our website for this post, and we talked about sharpening the mower blades, and it's definitely something the handy guy can do.
Absolutely.
We did a simple,
inexpensive file, or you can use a grinder if you have one available.
In fact, we probably should post a video of that one of these days.
Sure.
But good question. And now let's move to another question from David. And David says, do you guys know of any plans for a DIY metal break? I need to cover the sills of my home windows and would like to have a break to bend the aluminum nicely myself. Well, Brian, this leads me to a segment that we have called
Buy, Borrow, Rent, or Steal with the Handy Guys.
Okay, Brian, first let's explain what is a metal break of which David refers to.
Right. A metal break is a very specific piece of equipment, very specific tool that's used for putting creases and folds, and also can be used for cutting aluminum that you would wrap around windowsills or trim, fascia, soffits, things like that. So that's all it does, and it does it very well.
Flashing. That's what
flashing.
Aluminum flashing is.
Aluminum flashing. Sometimes if it's not pre-bent, you want to put a bend in it. Absolutely. You would use it's called a break.
So a lot of times that aluminum just comes in rolls, right?
And
you can get
rolls,
it at your home center, but you need to be able to conform it to your sill or your fascia or soffits.
Whatever you're working on, right. Whatever you're covering with the aluminum. And sometimes those bends are pretty intricate. So you might have 3, 4, 5 bends at different angles in one piece of aluminum to kind of fit, you know, that trim board that sticks out from the wall 3/4 inch and then goes up 4 inches and then comes out another 3/4 inch and then wraps back up under a piece of drip edge. And, you know, so you've got a fancy looking piece of trim by the time you're done.
So the question is, this brake, which is a tool to bend this, is this a tool that I can go out and buy? I guess I could.
You can go buy it. They're very expensive.
Right.
You're not going to find it at the home center in the for sale department. You might find it in the rental center
of
the home center.
So it's probably not going to be something you buy unless you're in
not
business of
buy it.
Installing windows and doing roofing.
Using it every day. They're very expensive. I think about $2,000.
Okay.
To buy these tools.
So
for a weekend project, not worth buying it.
And as a result, you're probably not going to be able to borrow it unless you have a friend who's a contractor.
I
that
always
happens
borrow
to have
it.
One.
I know several people.
Do
with
you?
Them, and I've borrowed them more than one occasion.
Are they contractors or?
Actually, one of my friends that has one is not a contractor.
He has a break just for his personal tool arsenal.
I think he's got 2 or 3 of them.
Why would he have so many breaks?
He's a tool geek.
Okay. Well, boy, he's...
You know him, Greg.
He really does go up there high on the tool geekdom list. He has two or three breaks.
Nice tool.
I think he does. At least one that I've used that he's okay. brought around.
So, if you can borrow one, obviously, but most people are not going to know somewhere they can borrow one, so they're going to have to rent it or steal it. We don't encourage stealing. We think that's wrong. So by the process of deduction, that leads you to?
Renting it.
Okay.
But you know what, Paul? David's idea was to build one.
Right. So he says, instead of renting it or buying it, can I build?
I did a quick search. I didn't spend a lot of time researching building one. I didn't come up with anything obvious. I mean, what I've done, if I have to do one bend in a piece of metal just for one little repair, I'll use a board and bend it by hand. But that's...
Sure.
If you're doing all the windows on your house, forget it. You got to go rent it or borrow it
right.
or buy it.
And not only do you have to rent it, but there's a technique. You kind of have to learn how to use it, learn
how
to cut the
corners. You
got to kind of
learn how to use it, yeah. Because, there's a lot of head scratching sometimes. Like, am I bending it the right way? And how far do you put it in and measuring? And, you know, getting it all just right is, there is a little bit of a learning curve to it.
All right. So, David, we say to don't bother trying to create your own. Rent it. Hopefully, you know, you
can borrow one
or borrow it if you can. And maybe you can learn how to use it. Hopefully you can figure it out. And, you know, the first one's going to be the most difficult. He looks like he's working with windows and windowsills.
Right.
Once
so
you
if
figure
all
it
the
out,
windows are the same, yeah, then you're, you know, kind of make up one as a model
right.
and then just follow that through and make them all up.
Then you'll be all set. And so you're just conforming the metal to the windowsills, I assume, in his case. And then you just caulk around the edges. And
yeah, usually it's installed with a couple of matched colored nails, you know, aluminum nails
right.
that match. You know, if you're using white, they have white nails. And
exactly.
So
and you can paint it if you need it. And you can get it.
Yep.
You can get the flashing in white if you're going with for white.
That's right. So it pre-painted. And that's a big thing. Some people will take areas that maybe need painted. And they're sick of painting it, you know, exterior trim. They're sick of painting it every year or every couple of years and don't feel like scraping it again. They'll just wrap it in aluminum. It's kind of the, you know, a little more expensive than painting, but it's you're using pre-painted aluminum, so you don't need to do anything after that. It's done, and it lasts a long time.
All right, there you have it.
Want to be notified of every new Handy Guys podcast episode? Simply enter your email address in our subscription box at handyguyspodcast.com.
Brian, we've featured in a couple previous podcasts a couple of mistakes that do-it-yourselfers make when addressing a particular project around the house, and we're here to help you.
Right.
We're here to help our listeners save some money and save some time, and we want to address another mistake that some do-it-yourselfers make. And what is that, Brian?
Well, the short answer is paying twice.
Paying twice. What do you mean by that?
Well, doing a bad job on a project because maybe you don't know your skills or your limitations or you don't have the right tools or you made poor selections in materials, whatever, and you end up having to hire a professional to come in and tear it all out and then pay him to do it. So you've paid essentially twice for the job.
Right. So the problem, though, is how do you know you're going to do a bad job? Let's face it, Brian. Do-it-yourselfers always are very optimistic. I can do it. I'll figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
Etc. But
all the handy guys don't know how to do it.
As
right?
we find out, yeah, you know, sometimes even the handy guys, your average handy guy gets, you know, neck deep into a project and realize that it's not turning out very well.
Right. You know, maybe the design committee gets involved late in the game.
Oh, that idea.
Right. Always include the design committee.
Who is
early
the design
on.
Committee, by the way? We've referred to the design committee several times in the last few podcasts. Who is your design committee?
My wife.
Oh, okay. Same here.
Your wife.
So, yeah, you obviously want to work out the designs before you start. In fact, Brian, I have to be honest, a lot of times I don't start projects for that very reason, that I'm just not confident that the design is in place. You know, when you build a house, you want to make sure you have architectural blueprints.
Right.
You want all that in place. But sometimes we get involved in a project around the house, and we just don't know where it's going. We kind of play it by ear. We just start putting things up. For instance,
that sounds familiar. You were just doing a project recently that was kind of going that way.
Well,
wasn't it?
I'm fixing up my laundry room.
Laundry room. Right.
Yeah, and we've got a new washer and dryer machine. We cleaned everything out. We got rid of all the wire shelving. Everything painted, etc. And the problem is, though, we haven't sat down and really figured out a design. So I hate to just walk into a store, as I was originally told, just pick up a couple shelves and just throw them up.
Just put up some shelves.
Right.
What's so hard about that?
Without any thought to, you know, can you reach the shelves? Because the new washer and dryer stick out further. Where do you want them to go? You know, another suggestion was made, just put a sink in the laundry room with no thought to where is the vent and where is the drain and, you know, do you have access from below? You know, those sorts of things.
Right. Well, you need a sink, don't you?
In a laundry room, do you?
I think you do.
Not with that.
Where do you wash your paintbrushes?
In my kitchen. That's a sink, isn't it?
Sure.
So you want to make sure you think through carefully. We talked before about basements. And when we were interviewing Roger German, and a lot of people get started in that, and it's over their head, and they call in the pros. But the important part in any project is you need to think through, what if I get over my head? You know, if you're investing in expensive Italian marble flooring, and you've already started it, and, you know, you may be wasting a lot of money if you don't know what you're doing.
Or like, let's use that tile example a little, take that a little further, Paul. What if you put that tile down, and, you know, you read about how to use thinset under the tile, and you grout it, and it looks great. And then, a month later, all the grout's cracked.
Right.
What'd you do wrong? Sure. Oh, you didn't have a properly prepared subfloor, or the subfloor was inadequate. Now you got to rip it all out. And tile, you can't you can't rip the tile out without damaging it. It just is too hard to do.
So you're going to end up paying
twice
and maybe paying for someone else to do the job.
Right.
But Brian, I still am getting back to this fact, is how do you know you're going to do a bad job? You don't really know until you've done a bad job.
Right. And that's the costly mistake, right?
So how do you prevent this mistake? I guess just do a lot of research.
Do your research, do your planning, ask your questions, you know, get a book, call us if you got any questions, whatever. And make sure you're prepared. You know, the TV shows and, you know, the little videos we do, they don't show every step of the project, right?
You mean it doesn't take, you know, 20 minutes to tile an entire living room or whatever?
Right. No, it doesn't. You know, our videos on faucets were, what, 2 minutes long,
right?
That was
five minutes.
So that was an hour
and a half job.
Compressed down, not counting the trip to the hardware store to get the supply line. So, we don't show you everything.
Right. And also, what about when my shirt caught on fire because of the studio lighting? Light was right on my back when I was filming it.
The studio light. Yeah, right, Paul. So, yeah, do your research and, you know, take the advice that you get in various places with a grain of salt and always double check it and make sure you got your tools at hand and all of that. And then, you know, dig into it if you have the confidence. If you don't, you know, bring in the pro. There's nothing wrong with that.
All right.
You are listening to the Handy Guys Podcast.
Okay, Brian, Father's Day is coming up, and the Handy Guys, as you know, because we are the Handy Guys, are working on a Father's Day podcast. And as part of that podcast, we want to talk about possible tools, items that an average handy guy or handy gal would like for Father's Day. Or what if you're a handy gal? It's not. They don't get anything for Father's
Day. No, why did you say that?
Well, if you're a handy gal, maybe you'll want to give the guy in your life a tool that you're actually going to use yourself.
There you go. That's the best kind of gift, right?
So we want to talk about, you know, some new improved tools that help you get yard work done.
Right.
You know, how about the latest robot gadget that mows the lawn for you?
Yeah, what about those things?
That would be a great tool for the handy guy, or maybe a newfangled trimmer that starts easier and is easier to maintain.
Yeah, something like that. Or, you know, even if it's just a, you know, a toolbox of simple tools, you know, whatever it is.
So, or maybe a new shirt for the handy guy.
Right. So, you know, you get the the classic handy guy shirt, right? So, you know, whatever it is. So if you have any suggestions for, Father's Day gifts or something like that.
Ideas, suggestions.
We're all ears because, maybe our wives will also be listening to this and they'll know what to get us.
Right, but you need to respond as soon as you hear this podcast because we're going to be recording the show in the next couple weeks. We're looking for ideas. We talked in our very first episode about the top tools that were purchased at Amazon for Christmas.
Right.
We want to know what's hot for Father's Day.
Right.
Is it some newfangled flashlight? Is it a screwdriver? What is it? And we're looking for ideas of every price range. Maybe it's a new riding mower from your favorite lawn company.
Right.
You know, that would be obviously expensive. But, hey, we'll talk about it. And we're going to discuss it in one of our upcoming podcasts, probably next week, if not in 2 weeks, as it is. Father's Day is coming up here shortly. And we appreciate any feedback we can get. Please email us at us@handyguyspodcast.com.
Right. Or you could just use the contact form on the website, www.handyguyspodcast.com.
You could also find us on Twitter at twitter.com/handyguys.
That's right.
And you can add us to your Twitter pool of people.
Right. We've answered a few questions on Twitter recently, so that's kind of fun. And you can see our answers in 160 characters or less.
And I'm finally figuring out Twitter, so you may even find me on Twitter answering some of those questions.
All right.
All right. Well, otherwise, we'll talk to you next week on the Handy Guys podcast.
Thanks for listening.
The Handy Guys will be back next week. Same handy time, same handy website.